Episode 94 of the Millionaire Mindcast. How to become more mindful and present. And I got a little treat for you today. You're going to get a guided meditation with Juliana Ray.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Maddie A.
What's going on, all you millionaires in the making? Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. We've had a lot of inquiries about the Millionaire Mindcast website being down, which, yes, it was hacked and actually destroyed inside and out. That's been a whole learning curve in itself. But I am excited to announce that we're going to be launching the newly redesigned website where all the episode show notes, links, and interviews will be hosted moving forward. And there will be weekly blogs, free tools, and resources, along with, yes, video interviews of our guests on the show starting next month. We had a lot of listeners express that they would love the show to have more videos. So, hey, I listened, and now our guests and I are doing the interviews in video format. All of those interviews will also be hosted on the Matt Aitchison YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe on YouTube for new videos that we release there. And also, if you want to be added to our exclusive community newsletter that gets sent out monthly, which will include wealth tips, tools, resources, insights, and so much more, really in a more tangible format for you, be sure to subscribe by texting Millionaire News. That's one word, Millionaire News, all one word, to 44222. You'll be added to the Millionaire in the Making tribe and get some great resources and freebies and exclusive content that's only available to our listeners and the people on the list. So I just want to thank you for choosing Millionaire Mindcast as one of your weekly motivators moving forward. And with your guidance, myself and the Millionaire Mindcast staff are committed to delivering up some more value, some more fire, and just overall knowledge here in 2017 to help you have your best year ever. So with that being said, let's get back to the show. Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, the show that focuses on what? That's right, all things mindset, money, and motivation to help you increase your income, impact, and influence. As always, I'm your host, Matty A, coming to you from Sacramento, the city of trees here in Northern California. It's been a wet last few weeks, but hey, I'm not complaining. We are in a drought, or at least that's what they tell me. And we are getting plenty of rain and water, so no complaints over here. Hey, if you are in the U.S. and you're listening to this episode today on January 16th, 2017, you're probably enjoying a day off, or, well, if you're an entrepreneur, there are no days off, right? I think we're always committed to our craft and our mission. But if you are enjoying a day off today, whatever you are doing, you're enjoying it because of Dr. Martin Luther King, the holiday that celebrates and, you know, honors the life and contributions of America's greatest champion of racial justice and equality. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for MLK. I mean, come on, first and foremost, anybody that's got a federal holiday named after them has obviously done some epic stuff in their lifetime. They've definitely moved the needle forward in some particular area, and especially for the time that he lived in, right? He had a ton of obstacles and hurdles to overcome on a yearly and monthly and daily basis. He had every excuse to give up, especially with all the limited resources and the, you know, the racial inequality at that time, the economic landscape at that time, and to still accomplish what he did is just absolutely amazing. And if you think about it, you know, he is basically an OG entrepreneur, someone who has elevated and created so much from what just started as a vision, as a dream. And he made that into reality no matter what was thrown at him. And now, because of him, we get to celebrate the values of equality and tolerance for all races in America. So big props to MLK. Today's interview is going to be a change of pace, literally and figuratively, as I interview my guest, Juliana Ray. And now Juliana Ray, she's an industry-leading mindfulness expert. If you've been paying attention really to some of the trends over the last few years, you've probably noticed that mindfulness and this idea around elevating human consciousness is becoming a very popular conversation. And Juliana Ray is one of those leaders in that conversation and pioneering this space and actually bringing a lot of this education and this knowledge and a lot of the tools and resources to the general public now. She's considered one of the top mindfulness experts in the world, and mark my word, you'll be hearing her name all over the place in the next decade and beyond, really. I mean, I was fortunate enough to meet her at a conference a few years ago and then got to know her by actually being in a mastermind group together and then obviously learning from her and putting a lot of her teachings into practice. She's amazing. And she's not only an amazing person, but she is brilliant with her craft. And if you get to spend enough time around her, your mind will be blown. I can promise you that. I mean, you're most likely you'll have some profound breakthroughs from today's conversation. And, you know, I've seen her take people, including myself, who swear up and down that they can't shut their mind off or who struggle with being present and mindful, and really just lead them to profound breakthroughs and transformations in a very short period of time. And I mean, she's training 5-star CEOs and business owners to musicians and professional athletes. So you know she's worked with some of the most elite and top performing minds in the world that have reached excellence in some areas of their life. So if you want to know more about mindfulness training, or if you'd like to become more aware throughout your day, or maybe you're raising your hand of just wanting to be more present in certain areas of your life, then this is your episode. And if you're like I was at first and you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure I see much value in this whole mindfulness thing or meditation or whatever you guys want to call it, I challenge you to listen to this episode with Juliana Ray and do so with an open mind and just give it a chance. You know, remember, success leaves clues, and just about every successful person that I've interviewed or been able to spend some time with all have some sort of mental practice in their daily routine. And when I actually started to implement some of these disciplines in my life as well, it was an absolute game changer. Now, it wasn't easy, but it definitely allowed me to become more present and engaged with the people and the experiences that I was having, just being more productive throughout my day. I was more intentional with my actions. I was happier. I mean, I can really attribute this practice to a lot of my growth these past few years. And just by taking that next step up in your consciousness, it's definitely much easier to slow life down and just be more present and intentional in those moments. So hopefully you get a lot of value out of today's interview with Juliana Ray. With that being said, let's dive into today's episode. Juliana Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey there. I'm happy to be here.
It's great. I got to actually just spend a little bit of time with you. I feel like we've actually got to spend a good amount of time together this last year.
It's true. Yeah, we've had a couple of really wonderful live events that we've done together.
It's been awesome. And I first really became enamored with what you were teaching and a lot of the stuff that you talk about and obviously live by when you were up on stage and I had my butt in the seat learning. And for, you know, the people that don't really understand what mindfulness is or what you do, give us an idea of, you know, what a mindfulness trainer entails and what your unique thought and process is around the topic.
Sure. Well, you know, this word mindfulness is thrown around a lot these days, which I'm very happy about. I'm glad that it's a familiar word to people, but it also means that people have lots of different definitions for it and ideas about what it is. And so I like to start by kind of clarifying what specifically am I talking about when I talk about mindfulness. So when I talk about mindfulness, I'm speaking about an approach to meditation, and it is a secular approach, so it's not religious in any way. It trains your attention in particular ways, so it's very specific, and it has been shown to have a lot of really wonderful outcomes, benefits that are now proven by hard science. So, Harvard Medical Center and places like that, Carnegie Mellon University, where the kind of rigorous research is done that we can have confidence in. So that's what I'm speaking about when I speak about mindfulness. It can also, people use it sort of to mean sort of generally being aware, but I'm talking about a procedure, a set of procedures that you do to strengthen certain attention skills and that lead to these outcomes that science has shown.
Mm. Now, you've worked with a handful of high-profile CEOs all the way down to, you know, the average person who is just looking to get more, you know, intentional about being present and aware of what they're doing and how they're doing it. When mm-hmm. you're working, you know, who does mindfulness training apply to?
Mm. Well, I would say everybody, at least in my experience. I mean, as you said, I've had a really diverse range of clients, from CEOs to rock stars to, I have a 93-year-old man who is currently a client.
Wow.
Yes, and that's been an extraordinary process with him. And so it's very diverse. I think that the main thing is that people have to be motivated to do the practice. It's like working out. Ideally, you want to train people who are on board to do the training. Other words, it's like pulling teeth. I mean, otherwise, it's like pulling teeth. It's like, there's nothing more frustrating than trying to train someone who's resisting you at every step. Whereas if you have someone who's engaged, who recognizes the value of what they're doing, that's, to me, that's the big differentiator. Someone with a willingness to do what needs to be done.
So for a lot of people, right, I think a lot of listeners on our show are, you know, aggressive entrepreneurs, the grinders, the hustlers, the people that are, you know, just going to make it happen no matter what. You mm-hmm. know, I think of a lot of the times, and this was my mentality until I started working with you and learning a lot of the stuff that you're teaching, of, you know, basically charging the mountain or rowing aggressively upstream and, you know, forcing through your will things mm-hmm. to happen. And what you have taught me is there's an easier approach, there's a more efficient approach. And, you know, what do you tell to those people who are, you know, somewhat skeptical of this process and how it can actually work for them?
Yeah, well, I'd actually say a couple things. Number one is that kind of aggressiveness that you're describing can be a real benefit in this practice, surprisingly enough. But the first step is to get on board with its value. And that's what you're talking about. You're saying people don't necessarily recognize why it's valuable. But I will say to the people that do and who take that kind of hands-on aggressive approach to their life, they can make real progress with this practice once they get on board with it. I've done many years of Zen practice, and we tend in this culture to think of Zen as this kind of chill, you know, like everything's right. Okay. But in fact, Zen practice can be extremely rigorous. You're up at 3 a.m. and you're practicing until, you know, when you do what's called a sesshin or like an extended retreat for a week or however long, you're up at 3 a.m. and you're practicing till 9 or 10 at night. And you know, it's quite rigorous. Wow. So people who are the types of people that like to push themselves can actually really flourish in that environment. They can make profound progress. But let's address the first half of that question, which is how will someone like that see the value? Because they're in such a go mindset and very goal oriented. And it seems as though anything is going to take them away from their goal. Any diversion of their attention, they perceive it as a diversion of their attention,
right,
and that it will in some way take away from achieving their goal. And that's where we need to correct people's thinking. And one way to do that is to talk about quality time versus quantity time. If you have all the time in the world to get done what you need to get done, however, you don't have, let's say, the mindset for it, or let's say you have a mindset in the sense that you're able to drive until you achieve it, but then it takes a toll on your body. Like you lose your health, or you lose maybe your personal relationships in the process, or you get to your goal and you're not getting the fulfillment out of it that you expected to get out of it. And you keep on looking to the next goal to get that fulfillment. And you maybe get these momentary hits of, wow, that feels good for a minute. Oh, but it's not quite where I want to be. I got to get over there. Right. So when we see ourselves falling into those types of traps, which most people who are on that drive do end up, you know, something, it comes at a cost. It comes at a relationship cost. It comes at a physical health cost. It comes at a sort of emotional well-being and mental health cost sometimes. You can burn out. So that's where we have to rethink about what success really looks like. What does success actually look like? Does it just mean that you achieve your wealth goals, let's say? Wouldn't you want to expand how you think about your success to include that you achieve your personal wealth goals and you feel deeply fulfilled in the act of doing that, right in the act of doing it? What if you could live your life that way, right? We tend to just sort of put off fulfillment. You know, I just got to get here and then I can feel happy, right?
Yeah.
And we actually miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity in small ways to get fulfillment and satisfaction from the daily routine. And you don't have to sacrifice your goals in order to do that, but you do have to put some upfront time in to learning how to be efficient and effective at making the most of your time, at converting the quantity of your time into quality time. And that's through how you use your attention, because we tend to squander our greatest resource, right? We tend to squander our experience of the moment. We dismiss it. We overlook it. We undervalue it. We are undisciplined in our focus, and that is a squandering of rich opportunity. The kind of opportunity that is not only going to make you kind of go through your days feeling more fulfilled, but it's going to keep alive your creative impulse. It's going to help you find solutions around your goals better. It's going to help you maintain healthy relationships as you're doing that and get other people on board. In other words, be a leader as you achieve your goals. So when we understand how to improve our relationship to the moment, it has a ripple effect through everything, including the goals we want to achieve.
Yeah.
And we have the space to discover, hey, is this the goal I actually really want? And maybe realign ourselves depending on what we discover.
Yeah, I love this process because it's, you said a lot there that resonated with me on many levels. I kept thinking, no way am I going to slow down to do this. Like, this is not going to serve me and help me accomplish my goals faster and get me further ahead. And when I bought into it and actually saw the value, and then I got aligned with it and started practicing it, and it's still, full transparency, a struggle for me and a challenge for me. And then when I get off track and then I replug back into it, I'm like, gosh, why did I get off track again? And so it's like this, you know, push-pull relationship. But when I'm in alignment with it and I am just feeling much more aware and in tune of like everything that's going on around me, I feel much more intentional in the conversations that I'm having, more in relationship with where I'm spending my time. Now seeing, you know, the efficiency and the productivity increasing because of, you know, the awareness in those activities from a day to day or a moment to moment experience. And so for a lot of people who, you know, maybe excited to learning more about this, where do you start with them?
Well, it's, you know, it's just like the way they would approach exercise. Let's say you had a fitness goal, and you knew that it was going to take maybe X months to start to see a result physically. You wouldn't expect to, you know, for example, walk into a gym and, you know, work out the first day and notice that your muscles are a little bit more ripped, right? It was just, you would have to kind of take it on faith that at least initially, you may not feel much of anything. You may not notice much of anything. And that can be frustrating because you know, it feels like a risk, like, oh, I'm spending my time on this. I'm not sure I'm going to see these results. But we all know predictably that if you put in the time to your exercise, you're going to see those results. And the same predictability exists with mindfulness practice. So it's consistent. If you put in the work, you do see the results. And that's one reassuring aspect about it. So I would suggest to people treat it as a fitness goal, as a mental fitness goal. And consider, okay, you know what? I'll give this thing, you know, I think somewhere I read 66 days to make a positive behavior change. Yep. So give it 66 days, right? Just say, okay, I'm gonna take 66 days. I'm going to do some kind of practice every day. We can get more into what that might look like, but maybe for 10 minutes a day, something like that. And I'm going to see how I feel at the end of that 66 days and whether I think it's worth investing any more time in. That would be my recommendation in terms of the practical aspect of, you know, okay, how to get started with this. So I'm guessing that you also are curious about like what I would suggest in terms of a technique or a practice.
Yep.
Okay.
That would be great.
So what's kind of cool about the system I teach, which is called Unified Mindfulness, is that you can – so many people are sort of vaguely familiar with meditation. Maybe you've heard of focusing on your breath. A lot of people, that's a very familiar place to start because it's easy. It's taught. You know, it's simple to teach. It's easy to catch on to. You just focus on your breath. The downside to it is that there isn't a lot of clarity around why you're focusing on your breath, number one. And number two, a lot of people, I would say about 25% of the population, don't enjoy focusing on the breath. So I like to teach unified mindfulness because it addresses those two issues. Number one, it gives you a broad overview of the skills you develop when you do any meditation practice in order to do any meditation practice efficiently. People are big on TM these days. So that's what's called a mantra practice. So this helps you optimize any practice you choose. So it's comprehensive in that way. It gives you a sense of the skills that you use developing any practice. And then you get to choose. So let me just quickly go over what the skills are and a simple practice. I'll just give you a suggestion of a simple practice. So the skills are concentration power, sensory clarity, and equanimity. And actually, would you like me to do a little like quick guidance for people so they get the lowdown on how you develop those three skills?
That would be amazing. Okay. This is where you're probably going to do the see, hear, feel potentially.
Well, I can do that, or I can keep it simple and just like focus on something like body sensations.
Ooh,
what do you think?
Yeah, let's give them a taste of both because I think there's value in both of those. But I'd love to venture into where you're going right now.
Perfect. Then I'll do that, and then you can sort of see how the wide see, hear, feel goes narrow, and that'll give you a sense of like, oh, right, as long as I'm you know, developing concentration, clarity, equanimity, I can focus on anything I choose. It can be the breath, it can be body sensations, it can be sounds, it can be sights, whatever. So we do that. The broad focus means that you can focus on anything in order to develop those skills. So we break your what's called your sensory experience into three categories: see, hear, and feel. And those three categories cover all your experience. So see includes what you see in the environment, but also what you see in your mind. Hear includes what you hear in your environment, but also whatever you hear in your mind. And feel includes both physical sensations as well as emotional sensations. So three simple categories. And then we do what's called noting and labeling, where it's kind of like these are the reps that you do with your attention reps. So you would notice where your attention is going at any given time. Like I'm doing it right now, and I notice the TV. And then I would use a label, because a label helps to reinforce the noting. I would use a label C, because that's what I'm doing. I'm seeing the TV. And I would pay attention to the TV for a few seconds. I just sort of look at it and discover it. I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, that's a TV. I would more just sort of look at the contour of it, the shape of it, and become interested and curious about the shape of it as if I had never seen a TV before, almost. So then allowing my attention to wander again, I might notice that I have a sensation in my body, maybe in my belly or something. And my attention is drawn to that sensation. And I would use the label feel, because that's a physical type sensation. And then I would stay with that experience for a few seconds. And then letting my attention wander again. Maybe once again, my attention is pulled into the body. So then I might use that label feel again. It's okay to use the same labels over and over again if your attention keeps being drawn, for example, to physical sensation or emotions. And then maybe I hear something. So I say that label here and stay with that for a few seconds. So you can see how it's a combination of allowing your attention to go where it goes and then simply categorizing what's the main feature of what you're noticing. It's possible you're noticing more than one at once, but you just kind of pick one.
Right.
And then you just use that label, see, hear, or feel, and you stay with what you're noticing for a few seconds. If it disappears, you pick something else, and you do that as a routine for about 10 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yep, I follow.
Wonderful. Let's see. Shall I demonstrate it?
Yeah. Let's allow people that are listening right now to go through an actual experience, because I've seen how powerful they are. I've experienced it myself, and I'd love to give our listeners a taste of what that can be like.
Great. So go ahead and straighten your spine and relax your shoulders. If you are driving, don't close your eyes. But you can either keep your eyes open or closed. If you're driving, you want to restrict your attention just to the driving experience. So a lot of people like to listen to podcasts while you're driving. And you're just noticing what you see on the road, what you hear on the road, what you feel, like the wheel or the pedal, or the way you feel sitting in your car. If you're not listening in a car, your attention is completely free to wander into your mind, out into the world. And you might be noticing a lot of activity in your senses. That's fine. You can let some of that activity go by. You don't have to note and label every experience you notice. Find a pace that feels comfortable. And when your attention settles somewhere, notice, is it see, hear, or feel? Use the label and stay with what you notice for a few seconds. You can use that label out loud or to yourself. If you get pulled into thought, notice, was it a visual thought? Did you see yourself doing something, or did you see a scene, past or future? Did you hear something? Were you saying something to yourself? Were you hearing some kind of conversation? And then you can just use that label. So it's okay to be late with the label. Okay, hopefully that gives everybody a little taste.
I love that. And I noticed myself experiencing all three.
At once?
No, not at once. But I heard my staff typing in the background. I'm standing right now, so I felt almost the soles of my feet like anchoring into the ground. I saw like kind of orange and bright flickers on the backs of my eyelids. But I felt very in tune with everything that was going on around me.
Yeah, so what you're describing right now feels good, right?
Yeah, I feel connected and present in the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that's an indication that your skills are working, are functioning. So here's something for people to understand. We all have these skills, concentration, clarity, and equanimity, naturally occurring. When you're in the zone, like, for example, let's say you have, like you just described, or you're having like a really great work day where things just seem to be on a good groove, right? It's like everything just seems to be clicking and moving well, and ideas are coming naturally, and tweaks are being made that, you know, adjustments, and it just seems to all be flowing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Those are the best days.
That's right. Exactly. We all know those are the best days. What we don't know is that we can cultivate the attention skills to create those days more often, more consistently, and more deeply. That's really what you're doing when you're practicing. So those days that we love so much, nobody ever taught us that, hey, actually, there is a way to systematically improve our capacity for those days and the depth that we experience those days. And that is what these three skills are about. Concentration is simply the ability to focus your attention on what you choose. So you literally, over time, working this muscle, you become more and more able to focus your attention on what you find meaningful. That has obvious advantages, right? Number two, the skill of sensory clarity, that's the ability to track and explore your senses in real time. So you described, oh yeah, I was noticing this, I was noticing that, right? So, and it became interesting to you. That's a good indicator that sensory clarity is kicking in. It's like, oh, wow, I'm discovering in the moment, you know, the sound that's happening and the flickering orange light in my eyes and these things, these ordinary life moments that I don't even notice, I dismiss, I take for granted. Suddenly they're an opportunity to discover.
Yeah.
And think about the impact that has on your creativity when suddenly every moment is rich with the possibility of discovery.
Those moments actually held more merit to me. You know, the things that if I were to have someone say, hey, think about this or that, I'd be like, well, why the hell would I think about that? But then by me naturally going there through this process and experiencing it myself, it had a different relationship for me.
There you go. It's experiential. That's what's so profound about this practice. And that's why talking about it is never going to do it justice, or reading about it. You know, people love to read about, or some people really get into reading about it, you know, reading about meditation. But really, it's in the doing of it that you get the value of it, because you have a moment like you did where all your skills are elevated. There's concentration, sensory clarity, and then the third one is equanimity. Equanimity is the ability to allow your sense experience to come and go without push and pull. So what does that mean? It just means that you're not fighting with your experience. You're not resisting it. You're not pushing it away. You're not getting caught in it either, getting sucked into it and getting stuck in it. You're having a balanced relationship to it and allowing it to come and go and kind of going with the flow of your inner experience. So those three skills, when they're operating together, that's called mindfulness. They have to operate together. If you have concentration, but you're full of self-criticism, for example, and judgments and, you know, everything is wrong in the world, well, you're missing that equanimity piece. And concentration power doesn't mean much when you don't have the equanimity. If you have equanimity, you know, it's like everything's just going with the flow, but you're kind of vague. You're missing that sensory clarity piece. You're not able to make distinctions. Well, then that's not going to be a very clearly directed energy, right? So you need all of these skills working together in order to have, you know, an effective or like a high level experience. And if you were to look at any experience you have where you've had like a peak experience or where you're in the zone, you can look back and say, oh, right, concentration was in place. I was really deeply absorbed in what I was doing. Ah, yes, sensory clarity was in place. I was making discoveries in the moment. It was interesting. I was tracking my experience as it was happening. And, oh, right, equanimity was happening. There was that sense of harmony and that sense of, you know, the flow, getting into the flow of my experience, right? So you can look back at any peak performance moment you have, and you can recognize those skills were naturally in place. And all I'm doing is training you how to have those skills naturally occur more and more, more consistently, more frequently, and with greater depth. And that is the name of the game.
For people that are, you know, like, okay, I like this, I want to give this a shot, you know, one, I'm curious to know what times of the day you do it and how many times a day you do it being at your level. And then for those that are just starting, your recommendation, should they, you know, block out that 10 minutes in the morning? Should they do it in, you know, the middle of their day, afternoon, evening?
Great. So in terms of what I do at this point, I really look at it as an operating system. And what my goal is 24/7. Because I've gotten enough rewards over the years to make my clarity about this, the value of it, is unequivocal. So what has happened over time is originally it was mainly a sitting practice for me. Mainly I would devote a period of time and I would sit formally and practice. But as time went on, that sitting practice morphed into, yes, I definitely do sitting practice, but I also do practice in action. So I do it while I'm exercising, while I'm eating. You know, I do it formally and informally. Formally just means that you're choosing a technique such as the one we did earlier, see, hear, feel, and you're implementing, you're applying, right? You're practicing. Informally means you may not have a clear technique, but you're still bringing some awareness and you're still, you know, consciously cultivating those skills that I described on some level, even if it's kind of looser. So it happens for me now all throughout the day. And sometimes it's more like it just sort of happens to me because of the momentum that I've built up of practice, where it's like I'm being meditated throughout the day. And sometimes I am bringing intention to the process, where I am intentionally doing some kind of technique, or at least, you know, a window here, a window there. I'm pausing even for 30 seconds or a minute to reground myself. So that's, you know, to me, that's the end game, is 24/7. I like to shoot big. but for somebody just starting out, I say 10 minutes. Give it 10 minutes to build up the habit. Give it 10 minutes. And if you can do it at one time during the day, like in the morning, for instance, a lot of people like practice in the morning, because what'll tend to happen, especially if you're someone who's a real high achiever, which I think most of your listeners are, if you're a real high achiever, once you get on a roll with your day, man, you are just going. And that momentum is going to be really hard to break with practice. It's going to feel really antsy. And, you know, it's okay. Ultimately, you want to be able to live through that antsiness skillfully, right? When that antsiness comes up, it comes up as what? It comes up as sensations in the body. It comes up as various thoughts, and those thoughts are visual, and those thoughts are auditory. So see, hear, feel, right? So we want to get to the point where we can skillfully process anything that comes up, including feeling antsy and like, man, I got to get out of here. I don't have time for this, right? We want to live through that skillfully, learn how to process that so we have choice. So we're not just like acting on automatic pilot and being driven by our impulses. But that said, when you're starting out, you don't want to make it too hard for yourself. Otherwise, you're probably going to give up and not do it. So you want to find a time of day where you've got a little downtime and you can, you know, take it easy for 10 minutes and just give yourself that time to do the practice. I recommend, if you can, do your labels spoken. So actually say the label, see, hear, or feel, out loud, it'll help you stay on track. It'll help you with your concentration, so you don't kind of get distracted into thinking and lose, you know, sight of the fact that you're actually supposed to be doing a practice. It'll help you with your sensory clarity, because you'll be clear in the moment. Oh, now I'm seeing something. Now I'm hearing something. Now I'm feeling something. You're making those distinctions, right? And it'll help you with equanimity, because if you say that label in a neutral tone, so just like, see, hear, feel, right? So you hear how even my tone is, and that pace is a good pace too. It might be faster or slower for you, but you want to keep like kind of a regular pace and an even tone. That even tone helps induce equanimity, helps you have a more accepting relationship to whatever you're experiencing, so you don't fight with it as much.
Mm. Who, now I want to give some people context to how badass you are at this. How long have you been doing this, and who was your mentor and your teacher?
Sure. I've been practicing for 20 years, and a couple of years in, I started going on immersive retreats like what I described earlier, and I found those so helpful. I was in a really desperate state. I was deeply depressed and anxious, and my desperation led me to really devote a lot of time to practice. So I ended up going on, you know, 4 retreats a year, which I still do to this day, and a lot of sitting in between. So it's good. I've racked up a lot of time on the cushion. And it's radically changed my life for the better. So it's easy for me, you know, well, it hurts a little to give that amount of time, but in the big picture, it's like I'm just so grateful that in that sense, it's easy. But Shinzen Young is the teacher of this unified mindfulness system that I have trained with, and whose system I now teach everybody. So,
and is he the founder and creator of this? Is there other people in the world who do this, or is this kind of his unique system that you were his first kind of apprentice in that space?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm his first apprentice, but I am heading up the teacher training for it. He has a number of facilitators throughout the world, and Unified Mindfulness is his system. And what he did was, he himself was ordained as a Buddhist monk about 40-something years ago, and he trained immersively in all 3 approaches to Buddhism. So Vipassana, or what's called insight practice, Vajrayana is what he was ordained in, and then Zen practice. So he was schooled, and you know, he's a Buddhist scholar who was deeply trained in all of these practices, and also was a sun dancer, which is a sun dancer. I don't know if you know anything about the Native American Indian tradition, but that is, to be a sun dancer is quite a noble thing to do. So he takes his practice extremely seriously, and he was fascinated by all the contemplative practices in the world. Basically thought, how can I develop a system that takes into account every major approach to contemplative practice so that anybody can learn my system? And as they're learning my system, they're actually learning every other approach at the same time, so that they have great choice, you know, so that, as I pointed out earlier, it's easy to see now. If you understand see, hear, feel, it's easy to see how, well, if you focus on the breath, what's that? That's just narrowing your focus to a subset of physical sensation, which is the breath. If you focus on a mantra, well, you're generating sound in the mind, right? So you begin to understand, like, oh, okay, right. You know, you can look at every contemplative, every approach within the context of this larger system. And that was his genius, was to think about how an all-inclusive way to understand contemplative practice broadly. And then in terms of, you know, a lot of what he teaches is simply modifications of practices that have been around for centuries, for thousands of years. He brings a level of thoroughness and clarity to it. His other objective was to make it very researchable by science, And so he brought a level of rigor and precision to it that he was in a position to do as a Buddhist scholar and also someone who did a lot of practice. So, yeah, he's got a book called The Science of Enlightenment, if anyone's interested in checking that out.
I love how it just connects all of the dots. You know, it feels like such a foggy space for me being an outsider. Yes. Now slowly coming into it, it feels like some of that fog is dissipating a little bit the more I dig in and the more I, obviously, like you said, experience it and actually do it. Why do you want to do this, you know, outside of yourself and what it provides for you? Why do you want to do this for so many other people? And now you're providing, you know, you guys are launching a one-of-a-kind training, the Foundations of Unified Mindfulness, you know, teaching people how to deepen their practice and help, you know, guide others in the process as well. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, I think it's quite natural when you have experienced relief and when you've been empowered personally through a process. I mean, I think it just blew my mind when I started practicing. I had no expectations and I really didn't expect much. I mean, I guess if anything, I thought, I can't imagine this is going to do much for me. And I was in a pretty miserable state. So to be given a way to lift myself permanently out of that state, that is something extraordinary. And at a certain point, I was healed enough to where I had the energy to give people. When I was struggling with my own emotional stuff, buried under it, I would say, I didn't have it to give. But as I pulled myself out of it through these practices, it's the most natural thing in the world to want to share it, to want to help other people who may be struggling, and even people who are maybe materially successful or appear to lead lives that are what we would objectively say are successful, happy lives. I know the richness that is possible beyond that. And I want everybody to know that richness. I want us all to be able to experience the richness of life that most of us experience sporadically in moments here and there. I think we all deserve that.
Yeah.
And so that I'm deeply motivated to serve everybody because of how helpful it's been for me.
Yeah. I share in that passion and purpose with you. And that's why I'm so grateful that you came on the show and why I've really appreciated, you know, developing a friendship and obviously being mentored by you in this space because, you know, essentially the Millionaire Mindcast isn't about how much money you have in your bank account. It's how rich you feel in your own mind, how wealthy you feel in your own mind. And everybody has that different definition. But I strongly believe in this resource and this teaching that, you know, you share with so many people selflessly. And so I'm excited to, you know, expose the Millionaire Mindcast listeners to this. And some people might be like, whoa, hold on. This is not my flavor. This isn't my speed. And I would challenge them to be open to this and give it a shot. And for you, I'd love to ask you the question for all of those people who might be thinking that or saying that. I'm sure you might get that look or that, you know, comment when you're talking about this to, you know, people that have no idea what this is. Yeah. In order for someone to level up in their life or to be more successful, not only maybe personally or financially, what would you say is the benefit for them to be open and explore this mindfulness training?
Well, one thing I'll say is you've probably done a whole bunch of things that were miserable failures, so you may as well try this.
Let's just start there.
What have you got to lose? I mean, look, anyone who's devoted themselves to an entrepreneurial path knows what it's like to try something out and be like, whoop, that didn't work, right? So let's just start with that. Like, give it a shot and, you know, give it the 66 days and see what comes of it. It's free, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I would say. Number two, I would say you don't know what you don't know. When I first started practicing, I thought I knew what it meant to feel calm. I knew what it meant to have energy. And I thought I knew what it meant to have emotional well-being. What I didn't realize is that I was looking through a very narrow lens that was the result of my conditioning and was the result of where I was caught emotionally. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know how profound calm feels. I didn't know how pleasant energy in the body, how tangible and pleasant energy in the body can feel. I didn't know. So for example, like after you take a run, that nice like runner's high, I didn't know that, you know, you could walk around with that buzz going on in your body all the time, a permabuzz. I would never have believed that. I didn't know what it meant to have emotional well-being. And I certainly didn't know, like, real emotional well-being, be anchored in emotional well-being. And I certainly didn't know what all that would feel like combined. If you combine that calm, that tranquility with the energy, with the emotional well-being, I just had no idea what I was capable, how good I was capable of feeling. I didn't know how rich some silly little moment could be, you know, how rich it could be to just walk down the street. I had no idea. So you don't know what you don't know. It's experiential, and you're only going to know if you check it out, if you become curious and you take the inner adventure that this practice can be.
So well said. For anybody that wants to give this a shot, and I know Juliana mentioned the 66-day challenge, we actually got to interview Jay Papasan in episode 78, who was really the founder and creator of the research, actual research based behind behavior change and habit change with the 66-day challenge. So after listening to this episode, go check out Jay's interview, awesome. Episode 78. But Juliana, I just want to thank you for taking your time today, for pouring into our listeners, for just being a great friend, a great mentor, and all of the amazing things that you're doing. So you are officially a part of the Millionaire Mindcast family, and I know that, you know, this show will impact a lot of people, and the work that you're doing will impact a lot of people. And we'll be sure to post all of the links for anybody that's interested in this practice or wants to be in this groundbreaking training. I mean, it's an absolute steal for the price that they're offering it. Foundations of Unified Mindfulness. We'll have the links on that on millionairemindcast.com on the website. So you can go ahead and click on that, learn more. But for anybody that does want to follow you or connect with you, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, so unifiedmindfulness.com is the website, and I am Juliana with two N's and then Ray with an E on the end, so you can look me up that way. We do have a free training, which is unifiedmindfulness.com/core if you'd like to check that out, or it's /foundations for the training if you're at a point where you actually have some experience with meditation and you want to learn how to offer it to other people. So in either case, there's something for you, and I look forward to connecting with you more around this practice.
Can't wait to see how many people you impact with this, and I can't wait to jump in and do it again myself. Thanks so much.
Awesome.
We'll talk to you soon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Matt.
Well, that does it for this week's interview with Juliana Ray. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, it's an honor to be a part of your day, a part of your personal development. And as you continue to level up your life, hopefully this interview gave you a little bit more of, you know, a perspective on what mindfulness entails and how you can, you know, just slow down a little bit more. And when you do that, be more present, be more clear, and actually have a technique or some tools and strategies to implement in your daily routine that will allow you to elevate your consciousness and overall fulfillment as you go through life in pursuit of achieving these massive goals. So until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.